Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
Hello, and welcome to Tax Justice Warriors. I am William Schmidt, and part of my goal with Tax Justice Warriors is to be educating the public through this podcast. Some of these episodes will be training and education for the public. I want these to be some episodes that are not just for tax professionals, but also for just the common person so they can learn about something new with taxes. So this episode, I'm going to focus on the earned income credit. This is something that applies to quite a number of people. And also there is a good amount of earned income credit fraud. So I will be talking at the end about that and a little bit how it relates to tax controversy as well. I'm going to go through the rules of the earned income credit. There are rules for everyone. There are certain limits for adjusted gross income, and those limits are your adjusted gross income, and this is for 2017 rules. As the years go on for the earned income credit, these numbers will be adjusted, but for 2017, the adjusted gross income limit is $48,340 or $53,930 if filing jointly, if you have three or more qualifying children, $45,007 or $50,597 if filing jointly, if you have two qualifying children, $39,617 or $45,207 if married filing jointly, if you have one qualifying child, or $15,010 or $20,600 married filing jointly if you don't have any qualifying children at all. You must have a valid social security number. Your filing status cannot be married filing separately. So these are limitations that an individual with an I-10 cannot have the earned income credit, and an individual with a filing status of married filing separately cannot have the earned income credit. Those individuals are limited, but if you're choosing another filing status, you could potentially qualify for the earned income credit. You must be a United States citizen or resident alien for the entire year. Individuals who receive their citizenship or change their status partway during the year, that does not qualify. You cannot file Form 2555 or Form 2555-EZ. Individuals with foreign earned income or the exclusion, they cannot qualify for the earned income credit. And your investment income must be $3,450 or less, and you must have earned income. What is earned income? Well, an easy answer is wages and tips, but there is a long list that includes wages, salaries, tips, and other taxable employee pay. Employee pay is earned income only if it is taxable. Non-taxable employee pay, such as certain dependent care benefits and adoption benefits, aren't earned income. Number two is net earnings from self-employment. Number three is gross income received as a statutory employee. So other items do not qualify as earned income. There is a list of earned income items that you can read more about that in Publication 596. There are also qualification rules if you have a qualifying child. The child must meet the relationship, age, residency, and joint return tests. Now, some basic explanations of those. The relationship test is that the individual must be your relative, so there are qualifications for that. The child must be under a minimum age. The child must have lived with you in the United States for more than half of the year, and the child must not file their own joint tax return. If the child was old enough, then they might be filing a joint return. There are more items to those various tests. I am just quickly going over them, but you can read about them in more depth. Your qualifying child cannot be used by more than one person to claim the earned income credit. So if More than one person is claiming a child for the earned income credit, then there would likely be an audit by the IRS that the individuals are supposed to show proof that yes, the child, for example, lived with them for more than half the year, and this allows them to claim the child for the earned income credit. And you yourself cannot be a qualifying child of another taxpayer. So a qualifying child claimed by someone cannot also file a tax return to claim the earned income credit. So if you do not have a qualifying child, you must be at least age 25, but under age 65. You cannot be the dependent of another person. You cannot be a qualifying child of another taxpayer, once again. And you must have lived in the United States for more than half of the year. Now, there are various limits to the earned income credit. And for those individuals who are found by the IRS to have filed for the earned income credit fraudulently, that they would be disallowed to claim the earned income credit. And if they are trying to claim it in future years, they need to file a Form 8862 as proof that they should be allowed to claim the credit in future years. If you are trying to claim the credit, you would file on Schedule EIC, and I recommend using Publication 596 for claiming the earned income credit or to research it further. But what I have found in audits of individuals who have claimed a child for the earned income credit, that for the relationship test, that they have to show birth certificates. And this is not just the birth certificate for the child, but for each generation to show that they are related to the child. So it should make sense in looking at each birth certificate that here is the child, here is the mother of the child, and so the mother is listed on each of those two birth certificates. And then, say if the child was claimed by the grandmother, then the grandmother is listed on the mother's birth certificate as well. And then the residency test showing that the child lived with the individual taxpayer. Did the child receive mail at the address? Is the address listed on the birth certificate? If the child is too young to go to school, so maybe a baby, maybe an infant, that the daycare records, that there may be medical records, maybe an affidavit from a pastor, a neighbor, a landlord, some other family friend. Also, then if the child is of school age, then school records. If the individual is a teenager, are the records for summer vacations, family vacation, where the teenager worked during the year? Those are some examples of documents you can gather to show as proof, and they are really good documents to have on hand to substantiate for claiming an earned income credit. I hope this answers some questions about the earned income credit. If you want to dig in more depth, definitely check out Publication 596 to learn more about the earned income credit. The IRS does want people who are not phased out for claiming the earned income credit to definitely apply for it, but also, on the other hand, they want to make sure everyone is validly claiming it. So keep that in mind. Definitely try to claim it if you qualify. Do not be fraudulent in claiming it. A low-income taxpayer clinic that covers your area would be glad to assist you if you have been audited by the IRS. So thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic Program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.